have a lot of things I want to get off my chest.
We just gotta do what we do. We play like we play. We be us. We be special. We smell greatness. We finish strong. Yes, from the top.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We are tonight's entertainment.
Welcome to the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. No subjects are off limits, so call in with your questions or comments to 504-556-9696. And now, here are the hosts of the Something to Say radio show, BJ Rust with Mike Hinson.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM, streaming live on WGSO.com. Well, we made it through the wild card weekend, and it didn't disappoint. There was a little bit of surprise, although some things weren't a surprise. We talked about the Bills and the Patriots the other day, and about I thought that it was going to be a lot closer of a score than what it was. The Bills just absolutely dominated the Patriots. The first time in playoff history that a team scored a touchdown on every possession. They had seven touchdowns, and the only weak spot, I guess you could say, was really that the kicker missed a couple of extra points. Other than that, they looked great and looked like the force to be reckoned with in the AFC. The Bengals took care of business against the Raiders, and they looked good as well. It'll be interesting to see next week whenever the Bengals and Titans play, and a lot of the Titans' success, I think, really hinges on Derrick Henry coming back, which he very well could be. He was designated for return the last week of the season, so he still has, I believe, another week before they have to activate him, because once he's designated for return, or any player is designated for return, they have 3 weeks. So he could be back at any time. But man, I'd really like to see the Bengals pull it out again for obvious reasons. I think we all pull for Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. But like I've said time and time again, I truly believe the Bengals are a team on the upswing. I don't know if this is their time, but it wouldn't surprise me to see the Bengals pull off an upset against the Titans. I guess the biggest quote-unquote upset of the weekend, which I don't really see it as that, but the 49ers beating the Cowboys in just ridiculous fashion, you know. And a lot of there was a lot of controversy around it, and because essentially the last play of the game, the Cowboys didn't have any timeouts. Instead of throwing the ball out of bounds or anything like that, Dak Prescott takes off for a run up the middle, and instead of getting down on the ground quicker than he did, he ran it down to, I think it was around like the 22-23 yard line. By the time that they got back up to the line, there was a referee that bumped into Prescott, and lo and behold, they couldn't get the playoff in time. But what was really bad was that the look, I think, that both Mike McCarthy, coach of the Cowboys, and Dak Prescott, they were blaming the referees for it. Well, the thing is that the Cowboys were getting beat, I think 23-7 maybe going into the fourth quarter. There was a lot of other things that was going wrong with that game, and I know that there was fans were throwing things at players and referees, and Dak Prescott made the comment that the referees ran off the field as soon as the game was over. That's nothing new. I mean, I don't know of a time that they don't run off the field. you know, trying to put it up there with the Nola no call. I don't think that's it. I think it was a bonehead play at the end of the game that Dak Prescott did. And, you know, if they take care of business like they should have, it would have never have came to that. And a lot of it, I believe, came down to the fact that they didn't have an answer for Deebo Samuel of the 49ers. So, you know, the 49ers end up winning that game 23-17. And now a little bit of rumors here and there about whether or not Mike McCarthy will be back. But the executive vice president, Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, he said that yesterday that he was confident that McCarthy would stay in charge of the team next year. But, you know, to me, it's just, especially with the Cowboys, I mean, this is a team that's not won since 1995. And yet every year we hear the same exact thing, that this is their year. They're going to the Super Bowl. You know, might as well just pencil them in. And it never works out that way for whatever reason. And, you know, I just don't. I think that there's bigger issues. And this is no surprise. And truthfully, my opinion is I think Jerry Jones needs to step back a little bit from what he does, because really at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who the coach of that team is. It's the same results over and over and over again. And he's the common denominator. You can change coaches, but it doesn't really matter, because they're just kind of a figurehead. And truthfully, you know, I wasn't that high on Mike McCarthy to begin with, but I really thought it was in poor taste that, like I said, both him and Prescott blaming the officials in something that really, that wasn't really the case. And anybody that wants to put it up there with what happened at the Superdome a couple of years ago against the Rams, I think you're crazy. It's two different things, and that was, you know, that play, running the ball at the end of the game with no timeouts in the middle of the field was just stupid. And, you know, one play, we can say this about the Saints for Rams game too. There was a lot of, you know, yes, we would have ended up winning that game had they called the pass interference like they should have, but there was things that led to that moment as well. I specifically remember talking with Mike, and I were watching that game together, and the fact that we had three possessions and came away, I believe, with 10 points or something like that, or maybe 13 points at that point. I don't remember specifically, but I know the first two possessions that we had, we came away with field goals. And I told him then we needed more. We needed to put the ball in the end zone. That could come back to haunt us. And lo and behold, it did come back to haunt us. So, you know, yeah, obviously that play gets called the right way. Saints are more than likely going to the Super Bowl. However, there were other things that were going on that game that kept us from going to the Super Bowl. But talking about the here and now with the Cowboys, you know, to me, it's just the same old. You know, it never changes. And I promise at the beginning of next season, it'll be the same situation where, oh, they're going to the Super Bowl. Dak, you know, and that's another thing, too, is I'm not sold on Dak Prescott. I think he got way overpaid for someone who hadn't really won anything. And they have tremendous wide receivers. They used to have a really good offensive line and a great running game with Ezekiel Elliott, but it's really not the case anymore. Him splitting time with Tony Pollard, it hasn't been effective. And to really make that whole thing work, they would have to run the ball effectively to open up the game for those wide receivers. But I just don't see it. And maybe things will change in the off season, but to me, it's just business as usual with the Cowboys. Let's see here. What else? What did we have? We had the Steelers. They got annihilated by the Chiefs, and that's really not much of a surprise. I didn't think that the Steelers really had enough to overcome the Chiefs. They ended up losing 42-21. And then, of course, Buccaneers beat the Eagles handedly, 31-15. Not really much a surprise there either. The Monday night game ended up Rams won 34-11 over the Cardinals. But like I said, Friday, if this was game was played maybe 2 months prior and you had a healthy Cardinal team, might be different. But unfortunately, that wasn't the case. So now the Rams will play the Bucs next week. And unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to go with the Buccaneers again. And then 49ers and Green Bay. As well as the 49ers played against the Cowboys, I don't see them beating the Packers either. So I think you're probably going to end up seeing the Bucs and the Packers in the NFC Championship. And then also, which is going to be a great showdown, the Bills and the Chiefs will be playing in Kansas City. So that'll be a good game and probably a high-scoring game, I would think. I don't think you're going to see a defensive struggle in this game. So that game I'm really interested in watching. That'll be on at 6:30 on Sunday on CBS. So that'll be a good one. And, of course, Saturday at 3:30, you have the Bengals at the Titans. And I wouldn't, again, not surprised if the Bengals pull it off, but it's going to be a tall task. So, all right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back with more. Of course, the annual Sean Payton rumors have started, so we'll talk about that. And who knows what else we'll talk about. So stay right here. We'll be right back with more of the Something to Say Radio Show right after this. Come light, whatsoever I fall. Right, we're back with more of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM and streaming live on WGSO.com. All right, so every year it seems like as soon as the Saints are done playing football that, of course, the rumor mill starts that Coach Payton is leaving. And normally it's that the Saints are going to trade him to another team. This year it's a little different. The headlines that are coming out today or in the last couple of days is that Coach Payton is leaving New Orleans for a TV job, and it has a lot of buzz. ESPN's Jeremy Fowler polled NFL executives and coaches to predict what may happen around the league in 2022, and he cited several well-informed people, quote-unquote, who brought up the idea of Payton becoming a television analyst. He signed a five-year deal in 2019. I just don't see him walking away from the Saints right now. You know, I could be wrong, of course, but again, it happens every year that he's leaving. And I don't know why that always seems to be the case, because he's the second longest tenured coach in football behind Belichick. He pretty much has everything the way he wants it. And he's built a culture with the Saints that turn the franchise around, let's be honest. I don't know, no more days of the Aints or anything like that. And it's him, and you got to give credit to him, and even Mickey Loomis you have to give credit to. And I just don't see him walking away when really the Saints very well should have been in the playoffs. However, they didn't make it. You know, it is what it is. And that's with, like, what I think they had 57 different people play this year. That's the most in NFL history. And the job that he did this year is nothing short of spectacular, truthfully. And I just don't – he may not get – I'm sure he's not going to get Coach of the Year, which he really deserves. But my point of this is that it seems like if the Saints played in a major market, it probably wouldn't be the rumor mill every year. And I don't know why the media likes to come up with this stuff, because he's a great coach. But I mean, let's face facts. If he were to leave, he's going to start from scratch almost in any situation. You know, if it was the Bears or even if it was Dallas, I guess you're not really starting from scratch, but he's not, that's probably not going to be the deal. He's going to have to go somewhere where he's going to have to build that culture and that winning tradition all over again. And who really wants to do that? Especially when he has a situation here that I'm quite sure that he's pretty satisfied with. And you have a great fan base, a great owner, and it just seems to work out. You know, they make it work every year with salary cap and all that. Even though this year they're $61 million over the cap, that's easily fixed, and we can get into that a little bit later in the show. But the point is that I really wish that this would come to an end, because I don't believe he's going anywhere. I think the Saints, if they were to get a new quarterback, and it's not a knock on Jameis. I think Jameis played well enough. I think that, you know, if he not got injured, you're looking at more than likely they're in the playoffs and they don't go on that 5-game losing streak. But I just don't see Coach Payton wanting to leave, and you know, and if it's to go to be a television analyst, I don't know. I think he loves coaching, and I just don't see why he would want to go do that at this particular moment in time. You know, this team has is probably the best defense that he's ever had as a coach here. So why would you want to step away from that when you're so close to being back as one of the elite teams in the NFL? It just doesn't make any sense to me, and I don't really see this ever happening. There's going to be a day, of course, whenever he decides that he wants to step away from it, but I just don't see it right now. Maybe at the end of his contract, you know, when that's up in 2024, but as of right now, no. I mean, he still has a couple years left. I do believe if the right buttons are pushed, the Saints very well could end up back in the Super Bowl again with that elite quarterback. And whether or not they draft Matt Corral from Ole Miss, I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer. I don't really look for that to be the answer. I look for them to go with a veteran. I think they would be better served to build up with that number one pick, going after a wide receiver that can be a game changer, somebody that can either be the person to step up in Michael Thomas's absence or to be a compliment to Michael Thomas and open it up for him. I just don't think that this with the quarterbacks that are reportedly available, I don't really see the fact. I just don't see them drafting a quarterback in the first round. And at that point, if you're going to wait a round or two, you're not getting much different than what you have. Probably a less quality quarterback than what Ian Book is. So I don't foresee it to go that way. But I think we definitely need another wide receiver, like I said, either to be the replacement for Michael Thomas or to be the complement. I think that really goes back to Michael Thomas and what he, where his mentality, you know, where his head is and what his mentality is. So, there you go. That's my take on it. I don't foresee Coach Payton to be leaving, but, you know, the jury's still out, I guess, and anything can happen. So, all right, let's get some news. We'll be back with more after this.
Hey, kid, did you know today, 16 years ago, it was you and I for the last time? You and Gertie said,
what's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader or will you follow? Are you a fighter or will you cower? It's our time to take back the power. What's your plan for tomorrow? Are you a leader or will you follow? Are you a fighter or will you cower? It's our time to take back the power. What you gonna do when they show up in black suits on your street and our mid boots?
All right, we're back, gang, with more of the Something to Say radio show on WGSO 990 AM. And it is Tuesday, so let's go into Turnbuckle Tuesday mode. And quite a bit of stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling right now. Everything in the WWE is leading up to the big Royal Rumble pay-per-view that'll be happening on January 29th. And I'd like to say that it's gotten more interesting, but not really. Now, let's just be honest. I think the biggest biggest deal right now is Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, former members of the Shield, that are actually going to be facing each other. And truthfully, I think it's going to lead to a really great match at the Royal Rumble. Seth Rollins is always he always puts on a great performance, and it's nice because they have a little history between the two of them, with Seth being the quote unquote leader of the Shield back in those days, and now Roman Reigns being the quote unquote head of the table. I think they're going to be able to tell a really good story. And then also Bobby Lashley against Brock Lesnar, I think, is going to be a lot better than maybe some folks think. You know, a lot of the news and the rumblings about the Royal Rumble is because of the fact that Mickie James, who's the current Impact Women's Champion, she's going to be involved in the Royal Rumble, and that's the first time the quote unquote Forbidden Door has been opened. And the fact that WWE is acknowledging her as the Impact Women's Champion and saying them by name, that's a big deal. It's a big deal for sure. So now the rumors are, you know, have started. Well, who's gonna, you know, are they gonna have someone on the men's side come, you know, be a surprise person from another organization? And there was a lot of rumors and things like that about the current TNT champion with AEW, Cody Rhodes. Since he is technically a free agent as far as a performer, he hasn't signed a new contract with AEW, but there's a lot of rumor saying that he's going to show up, which would be a huge deal. I just don't see it happening. Number one, he's one of the executive vice presidents of AEW, and he is that still, even without a working performance contract. And let's be honest about it, with the way that things have went over the last year with AEW and the momentum that they've built, why in the world would he ever want to go to the competition? It just doesn't make sense. And it's not going to be, you know, that they're going to all try to play nice and, you know, let's, you know, with go in with the idea of everybody being WWE and AEW, let's all make money. It's not going to be that. It just isn't. And I don't think even if he wanted to, it just doesn't make sense. There's no good can come out of it, because number one, he's not going to win the Royal Rumble and go to WrestleMania. It ain't going to happen. Vince is never going to let somebody from an organization headline and main event his brand. And what is the biggest pay-per-view out of any organization, hands down, it's not going to happen. So what would Cody Rhodes gain out of going back to WWE, just even if it's just for the Royal Rumble? Nothing. Not a thing. And Mickie James, you know, same thing with her. I truthfully don't understand why she would, with the way she was treated. But again, the chances of her winning the Royal Rumble and going on to WrestleMania, I just don't see it happening. I think maybe you could have her, you know, she'll have a good showing, possibly. She's not going to sign on to do it to be squashed and, you know, get eliminated immediately. There's no reason for her to do that. The only thing it would do would make Impact's product look as inferior as what it probably is at the end of the day. Impact, I think, leaves a lot to be desired. It's not definitely not AEW. It's probably, well, at this point, I guess it would be bigger than New Japan Pro Wrestling, but probably not. In a lot of regard, I mean, obviously it is here, but worldwide, I don't think it would be. But you know, there's a lot. Her character in WWE was old. You know, she didn't have a great run. She never got the title in her last run. She's switched her gimmick a little bit with Impact, where she's called hardcore. Like, she refers to herself as hardcore country, and that's because she's a country singer, in addition to being a professional wrestler. But I just don't I don't see why she would do it unless she's promised a good showing. And that's really all that can be done, because obviously, like I said, no way. I'll be the first one to congratulate and give kudos to WWE if they actually pulled that off and had her win the Royal Rumble. But chances are really good that it's not going to happen. So, like, back to Cody Rhodes, him being the executive vice president, and the fact, like, you know, here and there, sporadically, AEW Dynamite has been beating WWE in the ratings, in the key ratings, the key demographics, as they did last week. It's getting to the point now where it's getting, if I would say in a year, if it continues on this path, you might see them go head to head on Monday nights, both programs, because it's leaning towards that way. It's not as bitter as what the WCW-WWE rivalry was whenever they were head to head and they had the Monday Night Wars, but it's heading in that direction. And truthfully, a lot of it's WWE's fault because of releasing so many people and not knowing what to do with what they actually have to begin with. These folks can go to AEW and have a lot more control over their own personal, their characters, and have more success. And I just, there's no way. And even Tony Khan, I believe, came out and said that there's not going to be any performers that are going to participate in the Royal Rumble. And I think that's the right move. You know, keep it all separated. You don't want to send give any ammunition to your competition, because there's multiple things that could happen. Person could get hurt. There could, you know, some of the folks that could be super loyal in WWE could hurt them. You know, that's just one of the things. And I'd like to think that, that those kind of things wouldn't happen anymore, but you never know, because I know, like, during the Monday Night Wars, that wasn't so friendly whenever Vince bought WCW and brought those folks over. There was a lot of animosity still, even though WWE had won the Monday Night Wars. There was a lot of animosity. So, and on top of that, again, you don't want your character to be made a fool of, and then you have to go back in front of people and explain why when you go back to AEW. It doesn't make sense. So, all right, well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We've got a couple more things we can talk about. So you're listening to the Something to Say Radio Show, and we'll be back right after this. Everybody, welcome back to the Something to Say Radio Show on WGSO 990 AM. So we talked a little bit about WWE, but I want to talk about Dynamite from last week, and I thought it was another great episode. The card, it was all right, but there was definitely some high points, and still I'm finding it far more entertaining than Monday Night Raw. The show kicked off actually a little differently than normal. Normally they don't use the same formula like WWE does, where the first 20 minutes of the show is dedicated to a promo and storyline building, where normally they kick off the show with action, but this time it was a little bit different. Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish came out and were cutting their promo, and then Matt and Nick Jackson, the Young Bucks, came out, interrupted them, and kind of furthered that story on a little bit, where You have the Young Bucks taking issue with Adam Cole and his old friends from NXT getting back together, where you can definitely see at some point in time the faction's going to split off between Adam Cole and the Bucks and Kenny Omega, and at some point these six are probably going to face each other, and that's exciting because all of them can put on a great show, and that's probably going to lead to some match of the year quality matches. The only difference is Britt Baker is also involved, and she's the real life girlfriend of Adam Cole. Whenever the five of these five guys were interrupted by the best friends, Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, Trent and Wheeler, Yuta, and Chris Statlander, you saw Britt Baker get involved to help out Adam Cole. And so I believe this week that they're going to have a intergender 8-person tag match, which I think is going to be absolutely fantastic, because number one, Britt Baker is she might be the best woman wrestler going right now. That's including WWE. And everything she does seems to come out the right way. You know, she says the right things, she does the right things. So it's going to be really good, and something to really look forward to. And of course, you had CM Punk versus Wardlow, who's the muscle behind MJF. And I love Punk, but the way the match went out there, Wardlow put the beat down on CM Punk, and all that was to lead to him and MJF having issue with each other. And I think, me personally, I believe that it kind of took away from the overall story that of Punk against MJF. So if it were me, I wouldn't mix up two different stories at one time, especially when you have one that can be one of the best stories of the year, if it's done right, and one of the best angles of the year, I should say, if it's done correctly. But I just don't like muddying the waters the way that they have on that. Let's see. Also, you had Hangman Adam Page came out, and he's been looking for somebody else to take on, which I don't know why he needs to ask, but apparently he needs to ask. And that saw the return of Lance Archer, who put the beat down on him. And I think that'll be an interesting angle. I don't see Lance Archer coming out on top of it. I think Adam Page has done enough that he needs to hold on to the belt just a little bit longer until possibly you see the return of Bryan Danielson or whenever it's CM Punk's time. I definitely believe that those guys will, by the end of the year, one or if not both, will have had the AEW World Championship. Serena Deeb and Hikaru Shida, that was, again, their rivalry has been amazing, and that furthered along, and I'm really interested to see where that goes, because both of them are fantastic in-ring performers, and I think there's a lot of story that they can tell. Overall, though, I thought it was just a great show. Sammy Guevara versus Daniel Garcia for the interim TNT championship, which I kind of think that part of it's silly because Cody Rhodes is the champion, but he had COVID, so don't know how long he was going to be out, but at most it's only a couple of weeks. So I thought that part was kind of silly, but overall, though, great match, and everything was right on point like it normally is on Wednesday nights. And exciting to see where some of these stories are going, and a lot better, I thought, than what we're seeing on SmackDown or even on Raw last night. Just more of the same. Like I said earlier, you have a couple high points in the show. Right now you have Becky Lynch, and she's going to, and normally I feel like she's usually in a good spot, but I don't feel like they're utilizing her correctly, because it goes back to like when Steve Austin, who had been so popular for so long, decided that he thought his run had ended as being that popular, and you know, made his heel turn. And he to this day, he says that if he had it to do over again, he wouldn't have. And there was a lot more depth that could have been done with his character. But I feel like that's what they've done with Becky. They felt like that it was the time to turn her, and it really, I don't think it was. And this new character is just not, there's nothing to gravitate towards. The, you know, big match Bex or big time Bex or whatever they call her, it just doesn't work. And in fact, she's facing Doudrop at Royal Rumble. To me, it's just not interesting. I'm sorry. And there's, I highly doubt Doudrop wins the championship from her. And it's just a placeholder match to put her on television, you know, keep Becky on television with somebody who I just don't find that interesting. There's not much to it, and it is what it is. And I guess I am a little excited to see the Beth Phoenix and Edge versus Maryse and Miz match. I think that could be something a little bit better than what maybe folks think it is, but overall, you know, it's 100% nostalgia, excuse me, and I 100% believe that Beth Phoenix and Edge come out on top because they need to, you know, they need to move it along, and Edge can take another break for a couple months and then come back and get involved in another angle. So we'll see. I'm excited tomorrow night for Dynamite because Jon Moxley is making his return. He took some time away, and kudos to him because he was big enough to understand that he had a drinking problem and he needed to get help. And, you know, that takes a lot of courage and to admit to something like that. And tomorrow night will be his first night back, so I'm sure he's going to get a great ovation, and I'm excited to see him back on television and see what where his character goes. So I'm looking forward to that, looking forward to the intergender tag match. And of course, this week MJF is passing the buck to another member of the Pinnacle instead of facing CM Punk himself. So Sean Spears, it's his turn to have a match with Punk. And anytime you have CM Punk on television, I think it's a good thing. And he's always interesting and entertaining. And I'm looking forward to all of that. Let's see. That's just about all the time we're going to have for today. We'll be back tomorrow night. Mike will be back. And we'll talk, I'm sure, more about the NFL playoffs. We'll check in with see what's going on in the world of baseball, because both sides, like we were talking about, they did meet last week. I don't really think a whole lot of movement had been made other than unofficially, I believe that both sides agreed on a designated hitter. But other than that, I don't really think that there is a whole lot more left that they've discussed. So they need to get moving on that. So we'll talk about that. And who knows what else we'll have for you. So we're going to step aside. Maritime Matters is up next. And until tomorrow, let's just play Gloria. Say Radio Show content, go to somethingtosayradioshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at S2S Radio Show, and you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/somethingtosayradio.